we haven't focused a hell of a lot on them. It's been more on us, which I know is a cliche, but yeah, they're still a really formidable team to play against.
Up.
Ah!
And welcome to the Joust. My name is Nagy. I'm here once again with my co-host, my lemon to my lime, or my lime. Would you prefer to be lemon or lime?
I think I'd prefer to be a lime.
Yeah,
it's much more versatile.
Yeah,
plus lemon's generally like a derogatory thing. Like my car's a lemon.
My car's a lemon. Yeah. You filthy limey, limey that gets used for the yeah. British.
I don't want to be a lime then.
No.
I don't want to be associated with those imperialists.
People ask for limes a lot in bars, as you will understand, Liam. They say, can I get a slice of lime in my soda water? Lemon's almost standard.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel. Standard and then something special.
Now, in your bar days,
yes,
because you guys would know well, Jousters, that we're degenerate hospitality workers. Were you a lime squeezer? If someone asked for lime in the drink, would you squeeze with your dirty, filthy fingers? Because I did every time.
If I managed to pick it up like a skill tester, like went straight down and then picked it up and it was just skin, and it was only skin.
Just the skin.
And it was just my two gripping skill tester fingers, and then I could squeeze it and then drop it cleanly. But still, that's touching the skin into the drink.
Every week, we end up coming back to wanking.
Yeah.
Just two fingers on the skin. We're sorry, Jousters. This show is filthy. But Nagy, welcome back.
Thank you.
You've spent a week now. A lot of fan backlash. Apologies, Sam. They didn't want you back. But we've got you back from the Bradman Best Institute of Infrastructure over there in Bali, Nagy. What did you construct in your week in Bali?
I can tell you. I went over there and had a look at everything Bradman's doing over there. And I'll tell you
Wonderful stuff.
Well, there's lots of half-finished buildings. And I think that's mainly due to Bradman because he's got a full-time job here playing football. And so he goes over there. Half builds about 90-odd buildings. And then, because I've got to go, boys, and then goes back and plays some football.
But look, he's doing it out of the goodness of his heart. If you're doing it out of the goodness of your heart, you're not really going to try that hard. So I love passion projects. You don't really have to try. You just be like, I love this thing I'm doing. And everyone's like, oh, great, do it.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if you finish it.
But
you know how many unfinished business plans I have in my garage?
Yes, I do.
They're all passion projects. No one can say anything about it.
Well, it's much more exciting to start something new than it is just to continue on doing something that you're doing.
It's so boring doing something that you're doing.
Moment motivated, they call it. Yeah. So Bradman over there, moment motivated, started a lot of things.
Did you finish them, though?
No, I just looked. So I walked around the sites and said, no,
clipboard
boys.
Clipboard and everything?
I said, Bradman will
be... Do they have clipboards over there?
Possibly. they're definitely... I would describe that area as more analog than digital. And I just said, don't worry, boys, Bradman will be back soon. And they nodded.
As long as he gets there early. Otherwise, the Germans, everyone will put their towels out on the sun lounges.
There was some Germans there. Very territorial bunch. out of character for those folks.
Yeah. You give them a sun lounge, and next thing you know, they're taking Czechoslovakia.
It all started with the sun lounges. They wanted more sun. No, I had a lovely time, but it is wonderful to be back.
It's wonderful to have
it. In my home of this chair. This is where I sleep every night.
Well, enough, a chair whittled by Bradman Best.
Yes.
Can't the man do?
I did miss out on something that I love doing.
Mm.
And that's why I wasn't there for a Newcastle Knights game.
Mm.
When we beat St. George, I wasn't there. That's where I was.
Mm.
Over there, overseas, or at least one sea, over a lot of land and some water. But I couldn't be at the Wickham Park Hotel, Liam.
Nor could I, unfortunately.
And that's something that we certainly have to rectify. And you can rectify as well if you make your way to Wickham Park Hotel to watch any sort of sport, but especially rugby league and especially the Newcastle Knights playing rugby league.
And especially if you're hungry, you can get yourselves a nice Joust burger, ladies and gentlemen. And the thing I appreciate about the Wickham Park is I don't like dishonesty in advertising. I don't like it. And on the way, Jess, you might not know this, but on the way to the Wickham Park Hotel where we record there in the Gents, I drove past a motel.
You did?
I drove past a motel. It's on the highway. It's at the top of Charlestown. It's almost in the middle of Charlestown Square. It's called the Surf Beach Motel.
Now, that doesn't seem like right sort of advertising.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't seem... It seems wrong. It seems incorrect. If anything, the ACCC should be involved. Yeah. But you know who's not lying in advertising?
What?
Wickham Park Hotel. hotel.
Because it is right by Wickham Park.
The adjacency is important to the honesty of the messaging.
Charlestown's nowhere near a surf or a beach.
It's neither.
If you arrive there and you say, where's the beach? They say, it's over there.
Where's the surf? It's even further over there. It's down past the beach.
Down past the mountain that we're on.
You got to go to the beach. You got to go past the beach to get to the surf.
Everyone that goes there, they're issued with a set of binoculars and a ladder, and they say, there it is. Surf Beach Hotel at Charlestown. I'm sure it's a wonderful establishment.
Mm. Oh, fantastic. Yeah,
of course. But covering all the dishonest advertisers, it's time for the news. A lot happening in the news this week, as always with Rugby League, but something very special coming up, Liam, that it sort of takes a large part of your heart.
It does. Now, as Australians, we're very proud the men and women who have served in our defence forces over the years, except for the Nazis. There's been a couple of them in the Australian army. So not them. We don't like them. But the rest of the good, honest men and women who serve in our defence forces are rightly being honoured with Anzac Round, which we love and we appreciate. Mm-hmm. And it's always fun to see the jerseys for Anzac Round. You know, you see it come out and certain clubs that we won't name just cut and paste the first picture of a soldier they see on the internet.
I forgot about that.
The Newcastle Knights. No. What the Newcastle Knights have done... it's taken something that is integral to Newcastle, integral to who we are as a people and what we do here. Uh-huh. They have taken the arguably, and you know, some of you may disagree with me, arguably the most monolithic and incredible defence project of all time that Australia's been a part of in the F-35 Lightning Joint Strike Fighter. Oh, and you'll see on the jersey there, which I wish they dialed the colours up a bit, you'll see it flying over Newcastle there. As you can see, it's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful aircraft.
Yes.
Easily the most advanced thing in the sky.
And right.
I think, you know, really points to the fact that in Australia we have not an enormous air force, but it's a very... boutique, high-end air force. The equipment that we have is really quite good.
Australia's boutique, I always think old. Is that not a, it's not an old
boutique
aircraft.
I tend to think it's a bit higher end. You know, a boutique, you buy the fancy stuff off the top shelf, which we've gone and done with the F-35.
Looks Australia. Smooth.
It is smooth. Yeah. Well, you see, that's all, of course, to reduce the radar cross-section. So it's very, very stealthy aircraft. Australia's got 72 on order. There was talks of ordering another 24.
Okay.
Whether we do or not, we don't know. There'll be a white paper looking into it. But I personally love the Fat Amy, and I'm really glad that it's on the front of the jersey of the Newcastle Knights and representing the RAF base at Williamtown, which is such an integral part of Newcastle.
RAAF.
Yes.
Hey, yeah, we got an extra A because of Australia.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
but the British still call it the RAF.
Yeah.
There's one A.
Yeah, we don't care for them.
Maybe it's the RAF.
Sure, why not?
I'm going to be beaten to death by some Air Forceman on my way home. There's something else happening with the Rabbitohs. I mean, something always. Rabbitohs continue their spiral into the earth.
What did we say? It's South Sydney. Strife in South Sydney. Yeah. The death spiral continues now. Rabbitohs have made a brutal call.
They
made a brutal call. There was a call last week that was going to be brutal with the appointment of Mal Meninga. James Hooper, I believe, said it was a done deal.
Yes.
But the South Sydney power brokers, have said that, no, we're going to...
Hang on.
..give... Dimitri, what, a stay of execution?
That's what I think they say. To do it. Yeah. It's like
he's in the cell on death row. They're just like, no, you'll be all right.
He's been
we'll another week.
He's been marched there, and the phone keeps ringing, and they're returning back to the cell. And he's like, eventually that phone's going to stop ringing.
It's going to stop ringing. But for the time being, it's going to keep ringing, and you know we're going to derive joy from not being in strife. We're not the team in strife anymore.
Yeah, well, they might be trying to really make sure that, because if a new coach comes in and then also fails, they go, oh, actually, Jason Dimitri, I wasn't doing that bad of a job.
Yeah.
But if
maybe he wasn't the problem after all.
But now, if they let him sort of continue to fail up until absolute failure, that's what they call it when you really fail. Failship.
Like the Titanic.
Like they a failship.
the ultimate failship
it's
itself.
It's still brought up today how big of a failure it was. But if they let him hit the iceberg and go down, and then anyone else that comes in has to be doing a better job.
That's it. Spielberg will make a movie about it. It'll be amazing. But what we have learned, Jousses, through our inside sources, the Mal Meninga approach. Now, the Mal Meninga approach was not even from the South Sydney Rugby League Club.
No.
It was from a millionaire art investor named Nicky Stanicky.
Well,
I think we have a picture of Nicky Stanicky
right there. Yeah.
Sorry, that's Ongo Gablogian, his colleague in the art dealership world. But now, Nagy, if you were a prominent art dealer named...
Andrei
Stalenki.
Yes.
What would you do if you were to approach a coach for South Sydney? Who would you go for?
Well, they've just, you know, I don't know if Mal Meninga is going to be the first choice of my mind.
Nor your second, third, fourth, fifth, or sixth.
Considering he has never actually coached a team of the Newcastle Knights before, of the NRL caliber before.
No.
He's only coached representative sides where they've been picked for him, and then they've been the best of the best. And you can see there his record is second to none.
But all he had to do on those Queensland, those great Queensland teams, he just went out and he put the hats out. He put out the witches' hats, and then he ducked over to the pub.
They can run themselves.
Cameron Smith ran the session. Or was it Michael Hagan was the man behind the buttons, I think?
He was there.
He was the assistant coach. He said, Mal, lay out the witches' hats, and then you can go to the pub.
Yeah.
And Mal said, thank you very much, $1 million a year. I'm very happy about this.
But he's arguably considered one of the best team representative teams of all time.
I don't think it's arguable at all.
It probably is the best. And then they're like, no, we've got to coach Australia, which is the best of the best team players available from the country. And then they're like, no, we're going to give him the Gold Coast Titans and see what we can do with that.
Leader of culture.
No, not the Gold Coast Titans at all. The South Sydney Rabbitohs.
Now, remember, he was at the Titans.
He was.
Employed as the
people in culture.
Leader of culture.
Something like that.
And I think Gordon Talisman was involved at the club, came out, and he's like, oh, I've never seen Mal at training.
It's because he gets there after the witches' hats are put out.
That's exactly.
The witches' hats,
the hats
already done.
There. He just leaves.
He just says, my job's for another day. But
look, if there's anything that... you know, Mal has done that's particularly notable is that when he, went into politics, he quit his political career after 28 seconds. Demetriou's beaten it.
Yes.
He left the press conference after 27.
That's all he lasted.
Oh, my goodness me. Now, if you were a coach and you went out to a press conference and you knew your job was on the line and you had to put forward a strong case as to why they should retain you and why they shouldn't replace you with a man who's been largely irrelevant over the last couple of decades, how long would you spend at the microphone?
Well, you needed enough time to present yourself as because basically you're speaking to the wider audience.
Yeah.
You're speaking to the media, get the media on side. People say, gee, he's done a good job there. And they tap the South Sydney who's who on the shoulder and they say, Russell, maybe keep him on. He seems like a good fella. But no, he took a different approach and said, I'm going to answer 3.5 questions and simply walk away. and said, I'm excited about coaching this week. Very to the point.
Yeah.
Got there, didn't muck around. Quite often meetings are the only thing decided in a meeting is when the next meeting's going to be.
Yes.
So
the only thing he decided in the press conference is when his next coaching job's going to be. Next week.
Next week. That's all you need.
But I say, I admire brevity.
Yes.
I admire it. I think it's good. I think if you're there to make a statement, get out, make your statement, and bugger off. I say, well done, Jason Demetriou. Stick it to the power brokers, buddy.
Enough of this business talk.
Oh, business talk. We don't
speak English. We're not moving forward to circle back.
Synergy.
Synergy.
Yeah, synergy. That's a great buzzword, isn't it? Great buzzword.
Now, it wasn't all just... we had incredible games of football.
As we always do.
A whole round of incredible games. But there was one that had the most controversy. These two old sort of haggard coaches at each other's throats.
Very, how to put it? Psychopathic men. Two men with several screws loose. Yes. They've got half of Bunnings rattling around in their head and someone said, let's let them coach rugby league. And more importantly, let's let them talk for longer than Jason Demetriou after a game of rugby league and fireworks ensued.
Des Hasler under a bit of pressure there at the time.
Former teammate of Gregor McNeil.
Played in the halves
at the Australian Catholic University.
And then...
Des was the worst of the two halves.
Often, very centered and calm man, Ricky Stewart.
Yeah.
And had a few jousts at each other, jabs at each other. I think is a better turn of phrase.
Well, no, I would say they were throwing lances so powerfully it was like a joust. These weren't jabs.
He said he's on another.
Trying to stab each other while riding the backs of horses.
Basically, one accused the other one of cheating. The other one told the other one to fuck off. And then he threatened, if you want cheating, I'll give you cheating, which is sort of ironic, I think.
See, this is why we love the game of rugby league.
Yes.
We love rugby league because things like this don't happen in other sports.
No.
Things like this, people like this are not allowed to be in charge in other sports.
Professional sports doesn't happen.
Professionalism is only a term used loosely when it comes to rugby league administration and coaching.
When you put amateur sports on television, this is exactly what happens.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's great to see. I think it's great for the game. I think it's wonderful for, the new fans to the game. To see just what they're getting into.
Yes.
If you watch your first ever game of rugby league and it happened to be that game, Yeah. And then you watch your first rugby league press conference. And it happened to be those two press conferences.
Wonderful.
You're a fan for life.
The game, I'm in. The content just keeps going. Yeah,
that's
it. It's a wonderful
Days of our lives, never watching it. And I've got all the soap opera I need here in the space of about 3 hours.
Certainly the biggest characters. There was an interesting move by the Gold Coast Titans. If you remember, cast your mind back to 2023.
Why do you always ask me to cast my mind back? I never know where it goes.
Justin Holbrook was the coach of the Gold Coast Titans and former Newcastle Knight, Justin Holbrook. And he was, I believe, after six rounds, might have been after seven, but there was three wins, a draw, and a couple of losses there. 6 weeks later, he's out of a job. Mm. Why was he out of a job? Because Des Hadley's coming to town, and he's got to take it. And they put Des in. Six rounds, no wins.
Moneyball Des, they call him. That's like, I think it's safe to say that six rounds with no wins is worse than Holbrook
had. They were coming eighth when he was sacked.
It was like when the Panthers fired Hook Griffin and they were coming fourth.
Yes.
That worked out pretty good, though.
Then,
did work out.
I have heard someone call the Titans Disneyland, because I tell you what,
that's a good one.
It's farcical. That's what it is. It's farcical.
Oh, plus that's where all the theme parks are. Mm. If there was going to be a Disneyland in Australia, arguably it would be on the Gold Coast.
That's true. There's quite a few of them.
Yeah.
Something to do with the Panthers and one of the Mays. Now, leave me to inform you that there's more than one May.
Oh, there's several of them. And they're all troublemakers. Yeah. You know? And not the fun, like, oh, troublemakers. Like, actually, you know, bad troublemakers. But Taylor May, the young one, the boy,
baby boy,
was hiring a car from a vehicle rental company. And they rent out higher-end cars. I think he was in an Audi R8.
Okay.
Which some would know as a very, very good sports car.
Yes.
I don't know. Audi sounds German. I don't trust it. But he posted a video, and this is another thing we love about rugby league.
Yes.
Is when players post videos of themselves committing crimes.
You can take them.
He posted a video of him travelling on his own Instagram 90 kilometres per hour in a residential zone.
In a car that doesn't belong to him.
No, in a car that doesn't belong to him, doing, I believe, if my maths are correct, 40 kilometres over the speed limit.
Yes.
Now, one passenger in the vehicle was quoted, and this is, you know, pretty hard-hitting quote, as a, holy moly, brah.
Yeah, yeah. You can really sense what's going on inside the car.
Yeah, that really kind of sums up the energy of the vehicle. Holy, holy moly, brah.
Yeah, an interesting move by, is Thailand, isn't he?
Taylan. Yeah.
Thailand's another brother, I'm sure. But is he the one with the neck tattoo, or is he not?
I think he is, yeah.
Same which, one?
Yeah, I don't know if you saw this, just as he put out a selfie with his new neck tattoo on his neck, and no one knows why. It says Yam.
Yam.
So it's a strange decision to make, but well done, Taylor, for you know, continuing that long line of great rugby league people committing crimes and then putting it on the internet. Yeah. Don't you love it? Again, in rugby league do you get these
who
things.
Who was the guy that was DUI, but then he dobbed himself and he phoned the
Josh Papali'i.
Josh Papali'i.
Yeah, he called the cops on himself, which is an honourable move.
Yeah.
Then, of course, there was the great Liam Knight scandal where he sprayed Aerogard in his mouth.
Oh, to avoid the
breath.
I thought that was Todd Carney.
No. He sprayed Aerogard in his mouth thinking it would fool the breathalyzer.
Yes.
No, Todd Carney was involved in a high-speed chase.
But then he ran.
Got out, legged it, and told his teammate Steve Irwin to take the fall. And Steve Irwin got fired from Canberra. Todd Carney didn't.
Well,
then there was Conrad Hurrell, filmed himself copping dome from some Sheila from the New Zealand Sporting Press, put that on Snapchat. You know, rugby league players and cars. What a wonderful combination, especially when paired with social media. They just do it to themselves. It's hilarious.
We can't mention on this family show, of course, I was going to say Reg Gasnier, but of course his nephew, Mark Gasnier.
The infamous telephone call. Which, in light of what we now know rugby league players do in their spare time, it's taken on a bit of a darker tone.
It does.
Yeah.
Or maybe
it's not as playful as it once was.
I've never seen more of it.
Yeah. Just give them all bicycles. It's that easy. Just give them bikes.
Just say you're not allowed in cars.
Yeah, not allowed in cars.
Well, you still can't ride bikes around when you're pissed.
Well, Brad Fittler once turned up to Penrith training riding a dirt bike with no shoes, and Gus Gould sent him home.
Well, you know, it's dangerous. Get caught in the gears.
Oh, rugby league. It's just the game that keeps on giving. It keeps on giving.
Now, we've got the Manly player, Josh Schuster, fat. He's been told to turf it. And then... Is that what's happened?
I believe that's the exact quote, Nagy, from Manly CEO Scott Penn. He's a bit fat, so we turfed him.
Can we say that he's like probably a bigger 5'8 than you, but he's not like... He's husky. He doesn't look particularly overweight.
He's broad.
Then we've got the fattest men on the internet, as well as old broadcast television telling him to lose weight. Yeah. And I think he's probably not that far off the mark.
Now... There was talks that there were what we call in the industry performance clauses in his contract.
Yeah.
Nagy, if you had a performance clause at your job,
yeah,
what would that entail? What are you not allowed to do? Or what do you need to be not bad at?
You might have noticed that it doesn't include weight gain, because otherwise I would have been out of a job years ago. But I have a bit of a question as far as he's gotten these two things have been jammed together. They say he's on, well, three things really. He's on a lot of money, $800,000, and then they've
in
said
in this economy,
they said
cost of living crisis, that wouldn't get you a donut. You go to Donut King, you're not getting change.
He's a bit fat, and then everyone calls him lazy in the next breath. So he's fat, lazy, and rich.
And isn't that the Australian dream?
Yeah, that's what I thought. But no one wants to touch him now. He's 24 years old. Surely someone could pop him on a treadmill for 6 minutes and then get him out there. But apparently it's the curse of the high price tag. You see, too bougie.
Yeah.
You know, he's like the plane.
He's a boutique player.
He's a
boutique player.
But he's like, surely he's not that far. Everyone goes, he's talented, but a bit fat and lazy.
He's got a lot to give. He's got a lot to offer, and under the right coach, perhaps.
Everyone just says take him to the Storm, like the Storm's some fat camp, you know? Apparently other NRL team is capable. Everyone's like, maybe you should go to St. George. No, they won't be able to get his weight down. What are they doing at these clubs?
Well, we learned last week that the Melbourne Storm have taken the biggest player in the NRL, Nelson Asafa-Solomon, and somehow made him bigger. Yeah. That was last week's headline. Big man is fat now.
What's
you can't make it up. Who is writing these articles?
Can't they just put, you know, they pay like boot camps and things like that, and they take the whole team away. Can't they just go, we're going to pay another boot camp. We're not sending 30 blokes. We're just sending one.
But it'd save a lot of money.
Come back in 2 weeks. Yeah. You've trimmed down. Yeah. I don't see the problem.
No problem there. It's easy.
Is it just the money? If he was on 150K, would he still be in the Manly side?
No.
Okay.
I don't know. Perhaps.
He was playing 5-8.
I'm not Scott Penn. I'm not one of the power brokers over there.
He was playing 5-8 last year, wasn't he?
Well, of course, he contrasts very much with Luke Brooks, notably a small man.
Small man, fit.
So he's got a small man, big man type thing.
He's done that because he was gifted a very, very small barbecue. And that keeps his portion size down. You can only fit two snags in there. And he knows I can't have any more.
Well, they've gone and gifted Josh Schuster apparently an enormous smoker that could fill the whole backside of a barn.
Yes, of course.
So Luke Brooks gets his tiny barbecue. Josh Schuster's got an enormous smoker built out of an old semi-trailer.
Yes, exactly
just
right.
Pounding brisket down every day.
Smoke bellowing everywhere. It's like a schmelter. Before we jump into the everything Newcastle Knights, there's a couple of two Knights and a former Knight here, and the unusual suspects of the people that I just noticed have scored quite a few tries this year.
It's always great to see non-traditional try scorers achieving great feats of try scoring.
Yeah.
Now, three tries for Adam Elliott may not seem like many, but for Adam Elliott over the course of six rounds, that's pretty good. That is half of one try per game.
If you told me before the season starts that Kyle Flanagan playing 5-8 for the Dragons to score three tries, I'll say you're mad.
I think if you told me Kyle Flanagan would be playing first grade, I'd have told you you're mad.
Well, also Danny Levi, someone that has also spent some time recently in
one
reserve,
of Brownie's boys.
Reserve grade, and then now he's scored four tries this season.
People who are funnier than we are, when he scored his third try, referred to him as Danny Threevi.
Didn't last long because he scored a fourth.
Yeah.
Doesn't work.
Brief time in the sun. Very brief. And then, of course, our Jackson Hastings. Three tries. Gentlemanly three tries.
Gentlemanly three. And then the fellow on the far left. The guy from the Warriors. Ford.
Jackson Ford. That's a good name.
We've got two Jacksons on there.
Two Jacksons. Jackson Ford.
Jackson.
Sounds like a cowboy. Jackson Ford.
Well, he does. A strong name. Mm. We'll be right back for the second half of the Jazz. We're covering everything the Newcastle Knights. This Joust burger available for $15 on game day, Liam.
And look how quickly Sam ate that burger.
He nailed it.
It was there one moment, gone the next. Poof.
Yeah, well, that's how good
it
is.
Can I say that?
Yeah, well, we've gotten away with it.
Sorry. Whoosh.
Whoosh.
Probably, the burger was gone.
Yeah.
And that's what it'll happen when you go to the Wickham Park Hotel. They put the food in front of you. You just whoosh it down.
Yeah.
Just jam it down your gullet.
Yes. You don't poof it down.
No.
No. It's more of a sound when it's coming out.
And we've devolved into silliness yet again.
Yet again. Yes,
but I guess anything to prevent talking about this game, Nagy, since it's full time.
Yeah.
It's full time the other night.
Well,
what night was it?
Well, you thought you were wearing your lucky hat.
Well, I got, just as you know, I love hats. For those watching in the visual medium, I got a lovely new hat. Yes. Newcastle Knights corduroy hat.
Yes.
I've had an eye on it for a long while. It was out of stock. Came in the mail. I thought, great. I think I've got a new lucky hat. I thought, whoa, whoa.
It's very nice.
What better way to christen a lucky hat than by watching the Knights win in lucky circumstances?
Mm.
I think I'm going to throw it in the bin.
Yes.
It provided nothing but pain and hatred and fury. I'm untethered and my rage knows no bounds. I don't know since full time of that game whether I wanted to talk about it or whether I didn't. And I've been torn in between that all friggin' damn shit couple of days.
Yes.
It's been a bad time, Jousters. I'm furious. How are you, Nagy?
It's all right. You can. It's almost 9 o'clock. You can say fuck. It's
fuck. I don't like it. It was terrible. It was infuriating.
Look, it was a game that I when I came back from Bali, Balay, actually, they call it over there. Balay. Yeah. No, no, I got back.
You reckon Bradman goes to Bali?
Yeah, Bali, yeah. I'm going to Bali. Bali. It was I got back really early in the day. It was red eye that I came back on, and then I slept, and then I woke up. I thought, hang on a second, it's Thursday. The game's on. And I thought, fantastic. And I watched it and was gripped. I said, this is great. In the first 10 minutes, Lynn. The first
what
10
a wonderful
minutes.
First 10 minutes it was. I was looking forward to talking about that.
So excited.
Yeah, I was very excited to talk about the first 10 minutes.
Jackson Hastings, dummy and go.
Then 70 minutes happened.
Yeah.
10 minutes were great and 70 minutes were pain and fury and like I was having a hot poker jabbed up me bum.
Yeah, it was straight up there. Yeah. It was Jackson Hastings, of course, not the fastest man, but he makes it look easy when he dubbies and goes. And obviously goes over for a try. Caelan Ponga converts because he's 100% conversion rate.
Thank you very much, Mark Tukey.
Mate, Mark Tukey.
Well
they're
done,
Tukey.
Wonderful
he's
job
there.
Done a wonderful job with Caelan and Dane Gagai, our very own. He, of course, kicked 2 from 2.
Yeah, he's got two proteges.
Two proteges.
You would, it's clear Mark Tukey sort of got out of the game before the Josh Schuster sort of clause of fitness and folds came
in. Would have paid him $1.1 million.
Yeah, but if they only knew how well he could kick.
Yeah.
He's but so now, athletic.
Usually, in chronology,
yes.
Usually you would talk about a thing at the beginning, and you started obviously with the first 10 minutes.
I did.
But I've been waiting to talk about the last 10 minutes.
Sure.
Because those were the 10 minutes that boiled my blood, Nagy. Okay. We'll get into all the other nonsense that didn't matter.
The other 16,
because the last couple of minutes, would you, you correct me if I'm wrong, Jess, am I wrong saying that it was a farce? What happened in the last few minutes of the rugby league game between the Newcastle Knights and the Sydney Roosters was a farce. It was Bernard Sutton, known coward, making cowardly decisions and acting in the way that a coward would. Because you know what happened last week? Trent Robinson had a sook and Bernard Sutton,
No.
I don't want to raise the ire of Trent Robinson this
week.
I'm going to do what a coward would do.
Retreat.
He retreated. And he decided not to make a controversial call. Instead, he made no call.
He made no call.
Which
at
is
all.
The worst call you could make in a controversial moment when the game is on the line, when rugby league is happening.
It does.
It happens. Sometimes it stops happening, but you have to let it stop happening. He didn't let it stop happening.
You know what they say about genocide? It's when good men do nothing. All right? But he's not a good man.
He's not a good man.
Not at all.
He still did nothing.
Genocide.
It's like double genocide. It's when bad men do nothing. But anyway, look, we're going to break. I'm going to break down.
Yes.
Because after the game finished, we had family, friends over for dinner. I excuse myself to watch the footy game.
Yes.
And after the game, after full time, there was dead silence in the living room. And Mum came in. She said, "Are you all right, Lee?" I said, No. And so she got me a piece of lemon tart with ice cream, which was nice. But then after another 10 minutes of deathly silence, Brittany came in and said, "Liam,
your darling wife."
My darling wife. She came in. "Liam, our guests have come from Germany to see us.
Yes.
Are you going to come back to the dining table?" And I just kind of shrugged.
Shrugged.
I did go back like an hour later.
A
broken man.
Yeah,
I was a shattered man. Because if you look at the lead up to the Sydney Roosters, the try, the late try that Sydney Roosters scored.
Yes.
What you'll note.
The Daniel Tupou.
Whomever it was. Yeah, I don't know. I blocked it all out. What you'll note is that there was what was not deemed to be a knock on. Now, if we see the play. He knocks the ball into the ground. Now, 99 times out of 100 times, that's called a knock-on, but not today. Oh, sorry, not on Thursday. You know why?
Yes.
Cowardice. And then there was a very, very questionable pass from Terrell May to Victor Radley. No call.
Yep.
Cowardice. Absolute cowardice.
Yes, I'm seeing a pattern here.
I'm seeing a pattern. And then, of course, we have the Caelan Ponga break. The greatest player in rugby league. Of course, you give him the ball. He makes a break. Mm. Everything's fantastic. It's all wonderful. He's tackled. He's held. The ball-carrying arm hits the ground. And yet there's a second effort. But what does Graham Annesley say in the press conference? He said Kalyn Ponga had the opportunity to get an offload, so the play hadn't finished. The ball carrying arm had touched the ground.
It did.
That is held in every game of rugby league ever since the rule where the ball carrying arm touches the ground is held. Every single time, but not this time.
Rugby league genocide.
Rugby league genocide is what happened. And then there was the second effort. And then, to be fair, after that, there were some pretty boneheaded plays from the Knights. There was the Brayley kick, which led to nothing. Where was the support runners around Kalyn Ponga? We can't only blame Bernard Sutton. I will apportion a large part of the blame.
Looking at those final moments, the support runners around Adam Elliott as well.
Yeah, there was no one. Adam Elliott, he's known for getting a sneaky offload away. But you raise an interesting point, Nagy, when we were discussing the game after you'd watched it upon your return from the Bradman Best Institute of Infrastructure.
Yes.
The Knights didn't deserve to win.
Well, I didn't...
Very fair comment.
I may have not said those exact words.
But anyway,
I said they're not known for their clutch plays. And
true.
And I believe the majority, like the meat of the game, I thought the Roosters did enough to win.
Yeah.
We could have stolen it off them, but we're not really known for that.
Yeah. Well, in anticipation of the show, I kind of created my own thought of what you said so I could expound upon it.
Yeah.
So you said in my brain, the Knights didn't deserve to win the game, which is a fair comment, but... So what? And I'm not saying that if that call's made, absolutely the Knights win, we deserve to win. But the Knights deserved a chance to win based on what happened in the situation of the rugby league game at the time.
I do.
Graham Annesley said, "Oh no, they wouldn't have won. It would have just been a six again. Give us the six again.
Yes.
Then we don't have the boneheaded play of Jaden Brayley doing the stupid kick on the goal line.
That's right.
We have an entire four more tackles.
30 seconds. Could do it. Coward. Like.
Yeah. Cowardly. And Graham Annesley covering up cowardice.
We don't want better refs. We want brave refs.
Brave refs. Yeah. I want a ref who's got the gumption to make a call when a call needs to be made. Then we can challenge the call. That's not cowardice. That's a brave man saying, I think this is what happened.
Yep.
You may disagree, and you get that chance to disagree instead. He said, oh. He threw his hands up.
Can I also bring up a point, Liam, that we haven't discussed? And that I think that when there is late in the game, quite often teams will hold on to their challenges.
Yeah.
When one's thrown away by the Newcastle Knights, it is basically...
Oh, they threw away the challenge. Oh, that rules out.
No, they didn't. They still had the challenge. The Roosters threw away their challenge. Mm. But other teams, when they're playing the Knights, seem to go for the ball. It's hands on the ball the whole time. Because they just think, well, if they knock it on, the ref might call it a knock on. No challenge. Thank you very much for the ball.
Yeah.
It's almost like a switch goes, challenge is off, and then they go, let's just get our hands all in the ruck. Like we're... needing dough. And then but for the Knights, the other team loses their challenge and the Knights go, let's play exactly the way what we usually play. Now you might say that's within the spirit of the game.
And we do love the spirit of the game.
The spirit of the game and also gamesmanship sort of goes hand in hand. But then if you look at
two sides of the same coin perhaps.
If you look at the Dane Gagai no try.
Oh, and look at it I did.
Luke Keary falling on his backside after a mere bump from Dylan Lucas, possibly running towards Dylan Lucas, and people say, oh, I don't know, that might have been a bit of gamesmanship.
I'd say absolutely it was gamesmanship.
But also not within the spirit.
Within the spirit. Gamesmanship, but not within the spirit. Gamesmanship is allowed within the spirit of rugby league. The other thing as well that Graham Annesley cowardly pointed out was the Roosters were particularly slowing the ruck of the Knights in the last few minutes. Now, Graham Annesley, he came out, he had his statistics. He said, oh, this is the average play the ball speed in the game. You'll see the average play the ball speed across the game was actually faster than it usually was. We're not talking about across the game, Graham.
No, we're talking about the last
the
10
last
minutes.
The last 10 minutes, Graham, is what matters. 10 minutes in rugby league is like a lifetime. It's like 10 minutes in real life. A lifetime.
I did feel it's like 10 minutes when you're waiting somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, the doctor will see you in 10 minutes and you think, well, this is what else am I going
to
do?
But then it's the opposite. It's like if you've got 10 minutes before you have to go somewhere, I can sit down for 10 minutes, your bum on the seat, and bam, I've got to get in the car.
Straight away.
It's terrible.
Uber's already out the front.
Time's a flat circle. Who knows? Am I overreacting, Nagy?
Sometimes I think that the clock has faster periods of 20 minutes than others. Because I think if you're going to go leave somewhere at 20 to 12, slightly unrelated, but bear with me. So 20. If something's 20 minutes to 12 and you have to leave at 12, that's what I call a long 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes 20 minutes to 12 o'clock to 20 past. Slightly faster. But I reckon the fastest 20 minutes is from 20 past to 22. That's about 12 minutes long. See, that 20 minutes, like gravity swings the arm of the clock around so quickly that it goes bang.
And then the other side of it, time's just, it's a man-made construct.
It is. It doesn't exist.
I've never seen a dolphin look at another dolphin, so I'll be here in half an hour. No, they just are there when they're there. They're not there when they're not. They are there when they are. They have no concept of time.
Dolphins have no concept.
But if dolphins are in the NRL, you get a better bloody result than what we got.
I tell you what, it was a very disappointing game, but at the same time, slightly un-Knights.
Infuriating.
I did mention the Knights don't really have a clutch play in them. Mm. We're not known for these sort of golden point moments. Probably not since round 1, 2018, when we kicked the
Mitchell Pearce field goal against Manly in his very first game. That was the last good thing the Knights ever did for us.
A clutchless play for all. Yeah, that's a Burgess catchphrase there on the screen.
What a great show that was. Burgess. I love Baby John Burgess.
Baby John.
He was like that great... You know, the great uncle you rarely see, but whenever he turns up to the family events, he's got his suit and tie, cracking jokes.
He used to have a moustache.
He's always hitting on the other family's grandmother.
Oh, yeah. Charming bloke.
Charming. Follow on Twitter, too. He's a ripper to follow on Twitter. He's got a joke of the day every day.
Oh, really?
Exactly the kind of jokes you'd expect Baby John Burgess to make.
Is he still alive?
He tweets every day.
Okay.
Oh, that's just what I need to calm me down. A bit of Baby John Burgess.
A bit of Baby John. No clutch play, but we did manage to do two things. Both times before...
Rugby and league.
Two things. 3 minutes before halftime, we decided to score a try, which is not known for. We usually concede a try.
That was the old... Halftime. Yeah, that was the relics of Brownie, remember? Yeah, we'd always concede before halftime.
Exactly.
And then get a bunch of still knocks into them at halftime.
And then we were quite far behind, but then we brought ourselves back into the game by scoring just before full time. Mm. And then making it a bit of a game. So there's two quite exciting moments, which we're not known for, but we still had no clutch play. We couldn't actually seal the deal.
Mm.
And it was very, very difficult. Excuse me, my voice just went twice. hopefully it doesn't fail me again. Things to like about the game, Liam. I do like the... We've now moved away from the Phoenix Crossland playing 60 minutes and bringing Jaden Brayley on for a short stint. We now reverse that, the reverse Brayley Crossland.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's playing 60-ish minutes and then... Phoenix Crossfield.
That's what we can call them. Brosselin. You know, like you had Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez. Benifer. You got Brosselin. Yeah.
I'm heating up, Liam. This is so exciting.
It's all the flames leaping out of my mouth. I like
Phoenix because he does bring something to defense.
Exuberance.
Yeah.
I think is what he brings.
I think he can.
Joy.
Yeah.
Excitement.
He can bring excitement.
Yeah.
He's good in defense. He does rush up in defense. He's not just someone there as a smaller man.
Reminds me of Faf du Plessis from South Africa.
Yes.
He's not a large man. He's got long, beautiful blonde hair, and he just runs out of the line like a psychopath.
You're talking
Faf du Plessis.
No, that's the cricketer you're talking about. Is there another Faf du Plessis?
No.
Okay. You're talking about du Plessis from the rugby team.
It's South Africa. There's four names.
There's definitely a Faf du Plessis that you're referring to.
Could you look up, please, Sam? Springboks halfback. Okay. Yeah, it's South Africa. There's four names. They're all du Plessis, Bothas, or like Burgers. Yes. That's it. There's only four of them.
That's all there is.
It's Faf de Klerk. I was way off. Yeah, Faf de Klerk. Bismarck du Plessis is the greatest name in sporting history.
Yeah.
He's named after one of the capital battleships of the Kriegsmarine in World War II.
Yeah.
What's scarier than that?
No, it's pretty scary.
Imagine a bloke running at you like, he's got friggin' 6 13-inch guns on his deck.
They sunk that, though, didn't
they? Oh, very easily.
Yeah.
They got rid of it. They dispatched it quite promptly. They went on one famous raid and they sunk it, and everyone in the world, the Germans have the best battleships. They did not.
No.
They had one, and it was built under the Washington Treaty, so it wasn't even a real battleship. It was a pocket battleship. Anything to not talk about this game.
Yeah.
Anything.
Quickly to go back, there was a few heroes amongst the losing bunch. But there was a period there when Caelan Ponga looked like he was a wounded animal, struggling for life. And they said, put him out of his misery. Put the blanket up. Fire the gun. Take him. But no one expected him to come back. But then obviously they've injected him with something magical and he came back and tried his guts out.
What a rugby league player.
That's my hats off for this week is Caelan Ponga.
What a rugby league player. He's the kind of guy... You want, in the big moments, you want him to have the ball. So what happens? It's a big moment. We give him the ball. He breaks the game open. He breaks the game apart.
If we had two of him, he could have passed to himself and scored.
If we had two of him, my erection would never subside and I'd die.
But someone that's
I couldn't live with two Caelan Pongas in my life. It'd be terrible.
Someone that's making you very excited this year is another KP, but with an
extra
KP.
KPP. Yeah. Now, this young fella, and I've talked about this all season, I love the way that he's developing in the National Rugby League. Mm. He's still young. He's very new to the Australian game, which, as we know, is vastly different to the English game because it's actually good, whereas the English game is still notably 15 to 20 years behind.
It is.
But he's developing his game on foundational basics. Yeah. He's doing the important stuff well. Uh-huh. He's got a whole bag of tricks that he hasn't even brought out.
No.
So I'm incredibly excited to see once he has a good solid footing of strong foundational rugby league under his belt.
Good on us.
Start going nuts.
Yes.
Going nuts. He made a nice line break there. I think he got an offload that worked.
13 runs, 153 meters, 66 post contact.
He's a powerful break. Boy. Yeah. He's very, very good.
Bunch of tackles.
Yeah, plenty of them. Yeah. All good too. All good. Yeah. I think we've also got to give a notable nod to Bradman Best.
Yes.
If it wasn't for Joseph Manu, we'd be marveling at the 274 meters he ran for.
Yeah, a lot. A bit of the best battering ram he's developing into.
And he ran 100 meters after being contacted by other players.
Yeah.
That's a full 100. Like, imagine Usain Bolt running a 9.300 while constantly being battered by large men's shoulders. What Bradman Best did.
You've got to try to run the 100, Usain, but now there's 13 men trying to stop you.
Yeah.
It's going to be a vastly different time.
And he couldn't even make it in soccer with 11 men trying to stop him by dancing at him.
Oh, well, he kicked a goal once for Central Coast Mariners.
Oh, no one gives a shit about that anyway.
It was.
That's one thing we can take away from a disappointing rugby league is that the A-League's bound to fail and we'll stop having to care about that dumb sport.
When we take our hats off, we must return them to our head.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this week is for Dane Gagai, purely for the missed tackles. Mm. There was quite a few of them, and just a couple of decisions there. Sometimes I wish Dane was just a bit less Dane and a little bit more Gagai.
But with all the good Gagai we've had this season, you're bound to have an older fella who's a bit of an up-and-down player. More up than down. He's been very good this year, but we're going to get the down.
We've got to get the down.
He's old.
He's getting old. He's very on. And you took
maybe he didn't have his Werther's originals.
You took your hats off last week to the halves pairing.
Oh, I did, and this pains me to say. I think the...
Not even Jackson with the try score.
Well, there was a wonderful try. Don't get me wrong. I don't say he was terrible at everything he did. No, but no. I think the weaknesses that we saw from the Knights halves pairing in this game just gone were somewhat masked in the game previous because of the rain and the weather and the marathon monsoon. Because what was so important that week was the short kicking game.
Of course.
It was the pinpoint accurate kicking game.
Game plan.
But what was kind of nullified by the weather and by the conditions was the Knights' lack of a long kicking game.
Yeah.
Neither Jackson Hastings nor Jack Cogger
have a big dude.
Two Jacks. I just realized that. Two Jacks.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To an extent. Neither of them have a particularly large boot. And you see Kalen Ponga taking a fair bit of the kicking in general play.
Couple of size eights over there.
Just a couple of size eights. Can't get any welly behind the ball. So that was a bit concerning, especially when you saw where the Roosters were starting a lot of their sets on the, on the 25 metres out, 30 metres out, 35 metres out, etc. Yep. You just can't win a game effectively when you're not punting it down into the corner as hard as you friggin' can, having them approach the Newcastle Knights defence from their goal line.
Ponga does a lot of the kicking too, but of course with the hip pointer injury.
That's a bad one too. That hurts.
We look backwards or forwards, forwards or backwards. Twirling, always twirling. We got the game against the Bulldogs.
Yes.
This week
on Sunday. Oh, this is a danger game. It was a danger game.
2 o'clock. Imagine my voice was like this the entire time. It's a game that brings back good memories for
fantastic memories.
The 66-0 I had on my phone as a screensaver with the score, and it was wonderful for so long because
If we do some quick maths, over two games last year, we beat them 108 points to six. That's a lot of points compared to not many points.
Now, on aggregate, if we bring that score into this year, they need to win by 103. So we should be pretty safe for the 2 points.
That's some good mathematics. Look, if you look at this Canterbury team list, it seems like a team list that's been picked by kind of throwing darts at a board with a couple of players. In there who are, set in a position, and you're like, well, Bronson Cherry, where's he come from? He's been in the doldrums for 4 years because of drug cheating. Samuel Hughes and Chris Patola, they're made up names.
Yes.
Someone's just gone on Rugby League Live on PlayStation, just said to, random player generator, you've come out with Chris Patola.
There's also a random name generator would be Toby Sexton. He's on the extended. The forwards, the front rowers there look a bit there. The bench looks a bit sort of, I've never heard of them before besides Blake Taff. And he's been replaced with Connor Tracy, despite not having a bad game, besides getting concussed. Apparently, if you get concussed, you'd be benched. You're sitting on the pine.
On the don't get hit in the head like a coward.
But a couple of the players there, if we scooch back to Reid Marnie, as well as Matt Burton, Stephen Crichton, even Jacob Carraz, if you want to be, you know, if you want to have the nightmares of Christmas past.
Yep.
And there's someone else.
I worry about the left edge, Nagy.
Yep.
Left edge, they've got there. They've got Bill Kicko, who's in sparkling form.
Yeah.
He's just murdering people from week to week.
29 years old.
Really?
Yeah, I thought he was younger.
There you go. Yeah. See, we love, and we were talking about this last week while you were gone, Nagy. We love violent assaults in rugby league.
Yes.
I hope he doesn't violently assault any of the Knights players. I hope not. But that left edge worries me, Nagy.
Maybe if he makes Kick a out, break.
Crichton, Adokar. Yeah. That's a powerful left edge. All representative players. Very good players.
If Ponga is the last man before kick out on the line.
Run away.
Maybe Ponga just concede that one.
You know what? Pull the Lockie Miller trick. What's just that? Run behind the dead ball.
Run behind the dead line.
Run behind
there
the dead
it is.
Line.
Yeah, easy.
Say, what's it, 10 metres out, Bill? Yep, it's all yours, buddy.
I'd be willing to just sacrifice a try if it meant that Caelan Ponga doesn't knock the brain out of his skull.
Yeah. But I think if we look to the team list that, the random player-generated prop forwards, I think that's where the Knights win. We have three representative prop forwards in that main rotation. Leo Thompson, who's been superb since he came back. I feel like he's lighting a fire under the bums of the Safidis, which I think they needed. We discussed. You've been critical of the Safidis with good reason.
Yes, possibly. It might be the time to have a sit-down chat about Daniel.
Yeah. No, I'm just showing videos of Leo. So I think, and we said this last week as well about the front row rotation. They did an okay job. Daniel did his classic, lazy market offence to let in a try.
Yes.
That was bad.
That was bad.
That was bad.
It's not great. No. But things to avoid as far as I think that's where we've got to win the game is with if we get out forwards them because we actually have props that exist and that aren't generated by AI. As far as we know, there might have been a glitch and they made two Safidis. But
that's how it happened. It was like that trick in Game Boy when you both wanted the same Pokemon.
Yeah. And then you do the cord,
do the cable, you make the trade, and then you pull it out halfway. Simpler. Is that how the Safidis came to be?
Simpler time. Yeah. And Jacobson got extra XP points. So, as far as another bold prediction, Liam, where we might lose this game, I think, if we let Josh Adokar get any space, because our wingers are quite slow
and
he's quite quick, as well as Kickout, as we mentioned before, and Matt Burton with the massive boot, because he's got a big boot, and we've just said we got two small boots over two men, representing half of their legs. And
I hope Greg the Bus and Inari don't have a night like Dresden did in 1944, just with bombs raining
down onto the
pond. Lord, that'll be ugly.
Where was
Dresden? Greg the Bus, not known for his catching.
No, and Inari's been quite good. But
he's been great.
He's been good.
I've been very pleased with Inari. Yeah, I think he's proven himself to be a very capable first-grade rugby league player.
And if we look at the extended bench, we see that David Armstrong has also been named in 2022, which makes you think that Caelan Ponga might be under an injury cloud. I personally wouldn't mind seeing David Armstrong on the wing. I don't want to get rid of Inari because I think he's throwing his guts out, but at the same time, I think we might need a little bit of a spark. I know David Armstrong's only 61 kilos. It might not be up to sort of NRL standards as far as your bustling winger these days. But
if you want to see David Armstrong on the wing, who do you want to see at fullback if no KP?
Fletcher Sharp.
Do it, Adam O'Brien, you madman. Put Fletcher Sharp in.
And also,
he's tiny.
No, the fill of the other UK fill that we brought up.
Will Price. Defence needs work.
Not named.
He's not been great in reserve grade defensively, but do it. Yeah. Put Bradman Best to fullback.
Finally, a comment to make while we think we might be in a winning position, because we're playing at 2 o'clock. The sun's still up.
Yep.
And if we look at our wins over the last daytime nights, which is not often the time you see the nights.
No, it isn't. But we're very good at it.
Well, we're literally named the Knights, which is a nighttime sort of related thing. But this is the daytime Knights, oxymoron. But we've only lost one, two games of all of last season playing in the daytime. One to Cronulla one to... Was it City Roosters, I imagine? That's true.
Sydney Roosters.
So, but all the other times we played the daytime, including round 22, 3, 4, 5, 6, and the qualifier, was all during the day, all wins. Hey, all we have to do is play in the daytime.
Maybe, it's that easy.
Can we turn up the lights of the stadium?
Oh,
maybe?
That's a great idea.
We make it feel like it's the daytime when really it's the nighttime.
Well, you can do what you used to do at footy training. You just get a bunch of people to park their cars on the side and put the headlights.
Put the headlights on. It's the same thing as when you've got a bird and you're like, I want to go to bed, so you put a blanket over it and it goes to sleep. We do the opposite of it. We put them a lot of lights on. And they think it's the daytime. They play great.
I've never had a pet bird. Oh, no, I did have a pet bird, but we never did that.
No, I can't do it. I'm allergic. But there's I go around other people's houses and there's towels over, and I'm assuming that's what they're doing. Maybe the bird has died. I don't know. I don't ask questions. Then we can go on and on and on, but I think we've covered a lot coming into next week.
Mm-hmm.
Very important week. Mm-hmm. It could be our real season turnaround.
Defining moment.
Because I think this could be a defining moment for the Dogs. If they beat us, the Dogs start going, hey, we're doing all right. If we win, we might still be in this.
Mm.
Don't really know. We're both at the bottom of the ladder, but it's going to be interesting. It's got an aircore stadium, but it's not the Wickham Park Hotel. It's where you should be watching the game. It's much better. The Wickham Park.
Wonderful pub. It's a wonderful venue. I'll be at work, unfortunately, Jouse, as I'm terribly sorry. My work availabilities, I've done it all wrong.
Perfectly time for you to go to the Wickham Park Hotel, buy some lunch, and then think, oh, that lunch was fantastic. Cold beer in hand, looking up at the television. What do you know the Knights are playing? But if you've skipped that game, or you watch it and you think you want to talk about it a bit more, you can find us all on these social pipes. Liam, what are the pipes?
The pipes. Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Spotify,
TikTok.
Apple Tunes.
SoundCloud. Yeah.
One day I'll get the Twitter going again.
One day.
But it won't be today.
We'll catch you all next week, Justice. Thank you very much for sticking around. And hopefully we're talking about the Knights' third win of the season. We look forward to it. We'll see you then.